It will. Oh, Tom. Officially, the Christian faith does not exist, and Christians are not allowed to pray or celebrate in public. Even house gatherings involving several families are forbidden by the government. Religious workers are denied visas to enter Bhutan, and the importance of printed religious matters is strictly with only Buddhist texts allowed in. Society expects strong pressure to comply with Buddhist norms. Harassment and pressure by Buddhist zealots, I hope you understand this, occurs in certain areas. So we have pray God that in July 2006, two imprisoned Bhutanese believers were released. Pray for those in authority. Pray for Buddhism clerics who pressurize and assault Christians. Christian leaders need God's guidance and protection as they help Christians to stand firm. And I just thought I'd read this up on the back. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. And that's 2 Corinthians 4:8-9. And then this one at the bottom. What they did to Jesus, they do to us. Trial and torture, mockery and murder. What Jesus did among them, he does in us. He lives in our lives, are at constant risk for Jesus' sake, which makes Jesus' life all the more evident in us. That's Corinthians 2:4-11. So I think we're very lucky, us, because we can even praise God in our homes, and like me and Pat do, and listen to our music and we love it. So we really are free.
Yeah.
And it's lovely to be able to be free and do what you want, nobody telling you what to do, being afraid. We do. Praise the Lord.
Well, one of my countries is Somalia, and that's another Muslim country. Of course, I think most of these are Muslim countries, and if you notice all these Muslim countries, they're the ones that's fighting amongst themselves, and the evil, they really are. I were reading something yesterday, and it said about, not Muslims, but there were, well, the Arabs and Palestinians and that, and I thought, it gets you so angry. I think, Lord, I'm going to have to be praying more about these countries, because they're really thinking they can take control, they just take over, and they want people having rules for them, but they don't obey any rules what other people have got. They're just running roughshod over people. So Somalia is plagued by political instability, if not anarchy. There's no constitutional or legal protection of religious freedom in Somalia. Islam is the official religion, and social pressure is strong to respect Islamic tradition, especially in some rural areas. At least 6 Christians were killed for their faith in 2006. Most had Islamic backgrounds and were killed after this was revealed. An Italian nun was killed, possibly because of the Pope's comments about Islam as well. And in the picture it shows you, well, it looks like a lady, but she's holding a machine gun. And I thought, it's really is. I know the Christians really have a hard time in all these countries. If they didn't speak out, I know there's one in that other book I've just read, and he goes on the internet and talks to people on there, but he's got to be very careful what he says on there, because, of course, it keeps getting picked up and some people are following him. But we thank the Lord that he's moving in these countries. This really, sometimes it makes you think that nothing's happening, but we know, Lord, that God's moving, and God can get over all barriers and over any perimeters and that were set up. They're not an obstacle to God. He can get through any of them. And so I thank the Lord that he's moving in all these nations. And he will win.
Yes, we win.
We're going to do the Come Bless the Lord, and so if you'd like to all stand and get ready to, can you switch the monitor. No.
Is not now on the top 50, we can say praise God for that, that it's not included in the top 50, but that doesn't mean that it's actually got any better. It could be that another country's actually got worse, so the country still needs prayer. From a printout that I got, so this is a few years ago, in 2005, and this was the last report that I've been able to find, that a Christian couple, were accused of forcibly converting minors. So they were running an orphanage in Nepal, and then they, as I said, they were arrested. But they were Nepal. But they were, through prayer, they were released. I seem to have lost that one. But they were released a few days later, because this was on a connection from the Open Doors site, but I couldn't find anything on Open Doors to actually tell me what had happened to them. So we did another search and found that they had actually been released. So that was praise God for that actually did happen. So it may be that sort of from that point of view, that things have started to improve. So, you know, we can praise God that they were only kept in prison for a few days, and they were released. Now, my second country is Vietnam. Now, that was number 8. It is now number 17. So I think that actually does sound quite positive. In May 2006, over 300 Montagnan people remained in Vietnamese prisons for their faith. So that was in 2006. The Mennonite and Baptist movements were officially recognised by Hanoi in October 2007, which was estimated as some improvement of religious freedom in the country. So that has definitely made some improvements. So that is looking better. However, you know, that's sort of 2006. In 2004, there was appalling persecution. So it does look positive, so we've got to praise God for that. Now, the Mennonite Church in Vietnam, I'd not heard of that term before, but that is the Protestant denomination of Christianity in Vietnam. And there's about 10,000 members. So that's good. And as we've just said, they were officially recognised in 2007. And so it is estimated that there has been some improvement of religious freedom in Vietnam. However, on May the 16th this year, Vietnam, it says, officials confiscate home of evangelist. Now, this evangelist, he has been mightily saved. He was a former opium addict. So God has really worked in his life. In 2004, after hearing a Firm Foundation broadcast over the radio in his own language, he decided to follow Christ. He was able to quit his debilitating opium addiction in astonishingly short order with God's help. Now, that's it. We've said that before. God is so mighty. And if you really step out and take God at his word, God will sort out the addiction of whatever it is. So he took down his paraphernalia for ancestor worship and other spirit-related articles, and he burnt them. And his joy over his liberation soon spread to others, and eventually more than 200 families in the Sapa district also decided to follow Christ. So it's absolutely fantastic, isn't it? Then the local government officials launched a campaign of harassment against him. It was not long before he began to receive stern warnings against his activities. Then they threatened to seize his property and run him off it. And apparently this is something that they do tend to do. They keep the homes in the families from generation to generation, but the authorities are running them off the land if they become Christians. So the practicing Christians are being run off the land, they're being forced out of their homes. So it is worse. It is something that's being used against the ethnic minority Christians in Vietnam's northwest mountainous regions. The same, some 20,000 believers have been forced to abandon the ancestral land. So it's not small numbers, it's mega numbers. But God is with them, whatever's happening to them. It says in 2006 a manual was produced by the government to resolutely subdue the abnormally rapid and spontaneous development of the Protestant religion in that mountainous region. So you see, God is working. Many are being saved in these lands that are being tried to be subdued, but God will not allow it. Now, Vietnam claims to have registered only about 90 of the approximately 1,200 congregations in the northwest mountainous regions. But registration of congregations is often used to curtail rather than enable religious activities. So we know why they've not registered, don't we? Because they know that their activities for Christ will be limited. Then I've sort of highlighted something here. In view of the ongoing and serious problems faced by many of Vietnam's religious communities, the uneven pace of reforms meant to improve the situation, the continued detention of religious prisoners of concern, and what can only be seen as deteriorating human rights situation overall, the Commission again recommends that Vietnam be redesignated as a country of particular concern. So that's I think that is a human rights organisation. So it is a country that is of concern. And it says that we took them off the list. I mean, this might be what Open Doors will be saying shortly. Among other things, they'd released a significant number of prisoners, including 35 that we had specifically raised with the government. They've also reopened most of the churches that had been forcibly closed, particularly in the Central Highlands. They put forward a new legal framework of religion that banned forced renunciation of faith, and we're also, of course, in regular contact with religious groups throughout the country, and they've all reported a significant decrease in the instances of harassment and abuse directed at religious believers. So it seems to be that, you know, there is some improvement, but it is still a cause for concern, and particularly obviously where you've got somebody like this evangelist who so many are coming to Christ, that is where they're going to stamp on it, aren't they? Because mighty works are being done in the name of the Lord. So that was a May the 16th report, so it's very up to date. There was a report in April, again, Church laments state discrimination. And the Evangelical Church of Vietnam asked for a prayer appeal for their full recognition. They received their full recognition in April 2001 and is Vietnam's largest Protestant church. But they had a lot of property in the 70s taken from them, and they're wanting the return of their properties back into the church. Yeah, they're saying some buildings have been redesignated for some other things, but some are still standing empty. They want them back. Some have been demolished, but those that are still in existence, they want them back. They want them to be the house of God. And of course, my final one is China. Now, I've always known that China's been a big land, but I didn't actually know. I hadn't thought, it hadn't hit me how big it is. But when you look at the Open Doors map, and you see that this is all China, look at all these other nations. It's on the, you know, that scale, but look how big China is. You know, it's a big, big country. It's huge. And basically what's coming out of China is the information that depending on where the Christians are living, it does depend on how they are being treated as Christians. It's, you know, a vast difference. And this is, part of this is a statement from a New York columnist that was written in June 2006. And this is what they said. Although China bans foreign missionaries and sometimes harasses and imprisons Christians, especially in rural areas, Christianity is booming in China. Amen. Most of the growth has taken place in the unofficial house movement. Amen. From 1966 to 1976, the Cultural Revolution, religious life was banned. Even the Three Self-Patriotic Movement, that's the state church, and that was restored after 13 years. But during the Cultural Revolution, believers were tortured, Bibles destroyed, churches and homes looted, Christians subjected to humiliation, and we know they were tortured. There were several thousand Christians imprisoned between 1983 to 1993. In 1992, there was a campaign to shut down all unregistered meetings, so that's the house church meetings. But since then, the government's implementation of restrictions has varied widely between regions of China, and in many areas there is greater religious liberty. Christianity in all its variety has taken root and possesses the strength and techniques to survive decades of hostility and persecution. In October 2007, there were two surveys carried out, and they came up with the same figures, that there's about 53 million Christians in China. 39 million Protestant, 14 million Catholics. There's a province called Hebei, which is H-E-B-E-I, and that has a large proportion of Christians in that region. Lots of things are coming out of... lots of information is coming out of China at the moment. From the open doors. On the worldwide list prayer profile says, one police raid saw 270 house church pastors handcuffed in pairs and taken away for questioning as they met for prayer and Bible study. Many foreign missionaries have also been deported. In many regions, it remains difficult for many Christians to practice their faith. Evangelism of under-18s is against the law. That's 2008. That's not 1970 or 1980. That is 2008. Then there's a prayer campaign. It's estimated that around 20,000 people are coming to the Lord each day in the People's Republic of China. Praise God! Shall I say that again?
Yeah.
It's estimated that around 20,000 people are coming to the Lord each day in the People's Republic of China. Amen. With this great revival, however, has come great suffering for those Chinese people who want to follow Christ. Not only are many of them being harassed by the government, they are severely under-resourced, as most of them have no access to a Bible and training for church leaders is scarce. There's a problem that's coming from that. This often leads to doctrinal eccentricity among them, and it also makes them vulnerable to predatory cults. So these young Christians do need prayer. They desperately need the support of Open Doors to get Bibles to them and training material for their leaders. We know we've got the Olympics. I'm not going to go through everything that I've got, but I'll just focus now on this year with the Olympic Games. Again, this is being published in May, the end of May. So they're saying among key issues is religious freedom. With China, watchers, reporters reporting ongoing restrictions on freedom of worship, particularly for unregistered church groups, arrest, detentions in labour camps, and confiscation of Christian literature. The Chinese government fears it will also be a prime opportunity for dissidents and human rights activists to present their cause to the world media. That's why they're stamping down before the games. They're trying to get as many, I suppose, off the streets so that they can't highlight the fact of what's happening in China. Christians cannot legally hold a prayer meeting in a private home, share a church service with foreign Christians, or interact with foreign Christian organisations. China still bans religious education for children under the age of 18 and limits the publication of Bibles and other religious materials. Many Chinese Christians see little good coming from the Olympics in the way of religious liberty. Some point to a government crackdown on unregistered house churches over the past year, as evidenced in a 2007 report issued in February by the China Aid Association, and an unprecedented expulsion of foreign missionaries in 2007 as part of a clean-up in preparation for the Games. Many fear religious persecution will increase after the games as the world media moves on from China. So on May 16th there was a house church leader who was detained for inciting separatism. And that was only the latest in a series of raids and detentions. So things, you know, are getting difficult for them. Sunday 1st of June, 7 Christians were detained. So, you know, that's this month. During interrogation, police officials questioned the members as to who would be taking donations to the earthquake disaster area. One woman and her child were released, but 6 others remained in detention on charges of sending money to a disaster area in the name of the house church, the group claimed. So, you know, because a house church group want to send help to the people who have been involved in the earthquake, to Christians who have been involved in the earthquake, they have been arrested and the money confiscated. You know, that is a type of thing that our fellow believers in China are going through. It's not easy for them at all. Open Doors, you know, their director for China, he was asked the question, what impact are the Olympic Games having on the church? He said, he or she said, the authorities are afraid that society will become unstable, so they want to have a hold on all aspects of society, including the house churches. In the Olympic cities in particular, surveillance has increased considerably. Then he or she was also asked, why don't the house churches join the official Three Self Church? Well, we know that they've got control. And he said, you can only tell other people about the gospel in the church, and the government churches do not always preach the true gospel. In most areas, churches are not permitted to have a Sunday school. Legally, no children can be involved in any expression of religion, so baptising anyone under 18 is forbidden. So you can see why the house church doesn't want to join the official church, because the gospel will be watered down. It will lose its power, because it will not be the true gospel of Jesus. Are there still raids on house churches? In the Olympic cities and in certain provinces, there are still raids. The house church is then told that they are no longer allowed to meet. They're also fined, and the pastor is imprisoned. So this is what is going on. There's a Zurich statement on the church in China, which was issued by the Religious Liberty Partnership in March 2008, so I'll put that up on the notice board for everybody to actually have a look at that. I'll not read that, but you know, it is a commitment to pray. That's basically what it is. If I put that up on the notice board for people to have a look at later. Thank you for listening. You know, what I think what we've got to take from that for China in particular, 20,000 today. Amen. You know, we've got to remember big numbers are being saved by our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Right, my three countries are Djibouti, Laos and Yemen. And they've all stayed around the same areas on the list. So, still need to pray for them. But, the first one's, the highest one's Yemen, which is 6. And, this is strange because it, allows freedom of religion, but they're not allowed to convert from religions. So, if anyone is found from an Islamic background having converted, they face the death penalty. So it's not brilliant for them, so you need to pray for them. And then the next one is Laos, which is, communist, so it's hard for any religion or any kind of thing in a communist country. And in this country, like China, there's lots of two-faced sort of state, where in some states restrictions on believers are very relaxed. In other areas, the government monitors them really closely. So we've got to pray for both, that the ones in the unmonitored areas get a lot of believers, and the ones in the closely monitored areas, the government get lax and stop monitoring them. And in July 2007, there was a major crackdown against believers in one village. Houses were raided, dozens were arrested, and 13 Christians were killed in just in one village. So that's not good either, is it? And Djibouti, which is my final one. This the country. I'd never heard it before we did about Open Doors, but it controls access to the Red Sea, so it's a great strategic importance to that country. And although the country is like 99.9% Muslim, they've not imposed sanctions on those of other faiths. But there are so few believers in it that they're pressured from the families. So it's not really the government, it's more because there's so few. So we need to pray that people get there and can support the few believers there are, and that they'll increase. So that's me done.
My three countries are Azerbaijan, Uzbekistan and Afghanistan. Three wonderful countries. Azerbaijan and Uzbekistan are former Russian countries. Yeah, USSR as was, and Afghanistan. Everybody knows where Afghanistan is. But they're all actually down as Muslim countries. So I'm not going into great detail because everybody knows what Islam does. Nothing new, just persecution, control, manipulation, and that's just the devil's way. And I want to encourage you this afternoon that, you know, when we read Mega Shift, the devil's always in your face, isn't he? He makes you think he's bigger than what he is. Well, I want to tell you this afternoon that Islam is not as big as it says it is. Islam represents 2% of the world's population. And grab this, Christianity is growing at 8% per year. So let's be encouraged, let's not be down in the dumps, but let's not forget those who are suffering persecution. But the end result is, they win, we win. God's wins, okay? And I'm just really blessed by that. I've been reading this week about Esther. And if ever you want encouraging, read the book of Esther. It's only about 4 or 5 chapters. But it will bless your socks off, because there you're constantly seeing the devil trying to set a plot, set a trap for God's people. He's trying to make himself bigger than what he is. He's trying to condemn God's people, but every time God sits and waits his opportunity, and he catches the devil in his own trap, and he destroys him by his own trap. And I think that is tremendous, and it blessed me tremendously this past week. And I just want to read Psalm 46, because if ever there was a time when this scripture is an encouragement to us, it's now. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of this city, and it shall not be moved. God will help this city when morning dawns. The nations are in uproar. What's happening? There's trouble all over. Nations are in uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in all the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Don't ever be afraid of the devil. Don't give him a second look. He gets big in your face. Keep your eyes on God and pray for these people, because God will deliver them, and he'll make the devil fall into his own trap. They will bow the knee. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And I tell you this, God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and it will fill the whole earth. Amen. Let's give God a shout. Praise God. Amen. Woo! Yes! 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 Amen.
Well, my countries are Eritrea, Libya, and Jordan. Eritrea is just near the bottom of the Red Sea. It's just below Israel. But near Somalia. Not a lot on Eritrea. Found an interview stating that Eritrean are accusing the CIA and other Western agencies on Tuesday, this is dating 13th of May, of luring young people away from the Red Sea state in a plot to weaken a nation and see it as a threat from the USA. And they're saying there's up to 25,000 Eritreans leave illegally each year, mostly into neighbouring Sudan and Ethiopia on the way to Europe or the Middle East. Hundreds of young people have been missed, led that there is heaven outside. That's what they're accusing the USA of. An article from Open Doors from June 2nd, authorities in jail 34 more Christians in house church raids. So we need to pray for those. My next one, Libya. It doesn't say a lot about Libya in Open Doors website on its under Islamic law, and it's run by Colonel Gaddafi. The actual religious atmosphere is 96% of the country's people are Muslim, only 3% are Christians, and these are mostly foreign workers. And it was saying that in April 1998, a German visitor on vacation was arrested for handing out tracts in Arabic. But they don't have information whether he's been released or not. And that's from an International Christian Concern website. And my next one is actually Jordan. Christian man applies for asylum in Europe. This is dated 8th of May. A Jordanian man has fled to Europe and applies for asylum there after being asked to renounce his Christian faith, according to the Voice of Martyrs Canada report. 40-year-old Mohammed Habdad was attacked by Muslim militants earlier this year, which put him in hospital for a night. While there, he was handcuffed to his bed. his son and another Muslim converted to Christianity. They were also victims of the attack. During Abdul's stay in hospital, his own father submitted charges of apostasy against him. A few days after that attack, Abdul was asked to renounce his faith in a court hearing. He refused and fled the country. The next day, with his Jordanian Christian wife. Since then, his next hearing has been postponed because of his absence, but his father is now applying for custody of the children while Abdul and his wife are out in the country. And they've been in several Arab countries and now in Europe helping for asylum. The government is in the process of annulling the Christian couple's marriage and awaiting delivery of their marriage certificate from Abdul's father. In Jordan, Christians and Jews are allowed to worship long they do not try to convert Muslims. Converts are usually still considered Muslim by the government and report social and government discrimination. Yeah.
We were in Birmingham a few days ago, and in that same area in Birmingham that we were, there were some Christians out on the streets ministering, sharing Jesus and giving out tracts. And that area was a Muslim area. And they were told, this is a Muslim area, don't give out Christian material. This is a Christian nation. This is a nation that was founded on Christian principles. And the church needs to get up and start to be strong. This church needs to stand up and declare what God is and God is doing. And the church is you and I as individuals. You have to get fired up. You have to become stronger than what you are now in God. Because you have to stand against. Otherwise, we're going to end up in one of these. We're going to go into the orange or the red. This nation belongs to Jesus. This nation was founded on Christian principles. This nation took the gospel to hundreds of nations throughout the world. Okay, we did some things wrong, yes. But that always will happen. You know, there'll always be people in there that try and do the wrong thing, but we took the word of God. We took Christian principles that gave people life and freedom. We took Christian principles that delivered them and set them free from the kingdom of darkness. We took Christian principles that actually gave them eternal life and not eternal death. And we're a people that can do this yet again. And we're going to have to even do it in our own nations. We're going to have to stand up for the gospel, for the things that are right in the gospel today. So don't be afraid. Stand on what you believe. But you know, you're going to have to pull down the anointing yourself. You're going to have to draw on God yourself. I mean, I should not be here this weekend. I came home because I got sick of seeing and hearing the type of ministry that I heard. I've heard it now for the last week. Somebody's come over from the States, I have nothing against women, but she's like a crying banshee. And I have never heard so much rubbish spoken. Absolute garbage. Nothing to build the church up, but boy, is she after your money. I've learnt some techniques this week on how to get money. Glory to God. Whoa, eh? Come on, you know. You got to bring them to the prophet, you know. Hallelujah. 2 hours taking up an offering. 4 hours ministry. I mean, I can preach for 4 hours, but by God, it's not just taking up 2 hours in offerings. Is it? I mean, I can go on. Yeah, thank you. But I hope when I go on that, you know, there is something that is being useful that is said. There is something that will bring a blessing. There's something that will give life and freedom that will build somebody up. Not rip them off. Not just fleece them. God, I've never heard anything like it in my life. And I thought, I've had enough. In fact, the last meeting that they took, my friend and I, we went out and ate, had a meal. Came back when it was all over. In fact, we were late, we got back late, they'd all gone home and shut the place basically. And we thought, oh well, praise God, you know, who cares? We went to sell product and stock, but by the time she'd finished with them, I mean, the meeting started at 7:30. She didn't arrive while 8 o'clock, 8:30, and then went on while 12:30. Grace and I actually one day had porridge for breakfast, and then the worst thing that ever happened to me was I had to go to McDonald's at 4:30 in the afternoon and have a salad sandwich and McDonald's chips. Me, of all people! You know? The next time wait was 1:30 in the morning. Just listening to this woman howling and crying, it's like, God above, you know. One time I had an opportunity to get in her face and I nearly went for her. I was that far off, I tell you. I'm still tempted to go back to the last meeting and see if I can go for her. Because I just think, you know, I'm sorry, but our nation needs the word. Our nation needs the power of the word. Our nation needs Jesus in it. You know, I don't need to hear about the new perfume that she's just developed or the new cosmetic range that she's just developed and do a presentation for me. I'm sorry, I came to hear about Jesus. I came to hear how the Word of God can set you free. I came to know what the power of God can do in a person's life. That's what I came for. That's why I come to I come to church to build up the saints, to equip the saints for their work in the ministry. Not to tell them about the new bathroom range of product I've just designed that's going to be selling shortly. Not that I have, by the way, but that those were the things that were coming out. And I just think, God, we need a breath of the Spirit on our nations and on this country. Grace and I, just a few days ago, went to hear a minister friend that we've known for a good number of years, Andrew Shearman. Pauline and Ken went with us, and a tremendous blessing of God there. And I was just talking to him for a few minutes afterwards, and we were talking about when we were in the tent. He said to me, oh, I remember you, he said, in that tent. I said, yeah. And he said, you know, he just longs for that breath of the Spirit yet again. Even where he is now, where he lives and travels in America, he still says, I long for those days. And I thought it was just me that was saying, well, you know, have I lost something along the way? But we are longing for those days when the kingdom of God and the presence of God will manifest itself in the people. God is going to manifest himself in you. Hallelujah. He's going to manifest himself in you. He's going to manifest himself in you. This is the thing that you've got to get hold of. God, Jesus, is a personal Jesus. Jesus is somebody who wants to make himself known through you and in you. That's what the Word of God's about. Because, you know, these people that are being persecuted in Open Doors, there is a living Jesus in them. Otherwise, they could not withstand the persecution. There has to be a real Christ. There has to be a real experience. There has to be a real desire and a passion for the Word of God. And if we as the church and as individuals in the church don't get a passion for the Word of God, don't get a passion for Jesus, we're going to lose our nation. We'll lose it to Islam. And your children and your children's children and your children's children will be brought up in an Islamic state. Is that what you desire? This is my desire. That Jesus be the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and seated on this throne, over and in this nation. And people say, oh, I don't want to know about it. No, that's the problem with our nation now. We've got such a state we don't want to know. Whether you want to know or not in this nation, it will happen because they won't give up. They are pressing, they are pushing constantly. I am not multi-faith. There is one God. There is one Jesus. And there is only one way to God, and it is through Jesus Christ. And that is the only way. There are not many gods. There are not different gods. There are nations of demons and devils that need to be delivered from our nation. There are things that need to be put out of our nation, but there is one God, and the only way to that God is through Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, and He has come to set the captives free. And we need to realize that Jesus has come to set us free, has come to deliver us, and has come to give us the eternal life. But at that same time, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. And Jesus also said, wait on the Holy Spirit till you have power. Amen. He did not leave His church powerless. He left His church with power and authority. The problem is the church has put it down. The church has become respectable. Oh, we've got to be respectable, you know, so people will accept us. They didn't accept Jesus, so they ain't going to accept you lest they find Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It's as simple as that. You can't change it. They wouldn't accept Jesus. They turned Him away. They crucified Him. He's the Son of God. He never did anything wrong. So don't expect Him to accept you. They'll put up with you maybe. Lest they find Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they're not going to accept you. You see, you're my family. I don't care what colour, what creed you are, but you're my family. You're my brother. It don't matter what colour or creed we are. He's my family. You're my brother. You're my family. Don't matter where you came from. It matters where you're going. That's what matters. We all came from different places. We've all come out of different circumstances. But guess what? We're all going to the same destination. We're all focused on the same thing. The kingdom of God being manifest within our lives. We're focused on Jesus, the risen, ascended, glorified Lord. That's who we're focused on. He's the one who sets us free. He's the one that gives us life. He's the one that provides for us. It's not our jobs that provide us with our finance and our wealth. I've earned less money over these 20 years and I have travelled to more places, seen more things, done more things than I would have done years ago when I was earning. Well, I still don't earn as much as I earned 25 years ago. But do you know, God has never let me down. I don't need money, I need God. Because the Bible tells me He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. I don't need money. I don't need qualifications. I just need God. I'm not saying don't go for qualifications. It's all we need. He said, you know, God, the Word of God says He will set us before kings. Wow. Grace and I once met a queen. Didn't we? In Israel. Queen from one of the... Haiti Islands. And it's like, and we met her. We were introduced to her. She's a Christian, bless her. Glory to God. You know. And you wouldn't have thought she was a queen. That's okay. We're of a royal household today. We're high priests. We're king. We live with a prince. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we are part of that kingdom. And so we are inheritances. We inherit the kingdom of God in our lives. So be encouraged. Go for it. Begin to press. Begin to push. And see God set captives free. Set people free. See God delivering us and moving us forward. See God bringing people out of captivity and bringing them into life. See God, you know, see the Spirit of God working in prisons and bringing prisoners to Jesus. Seeing them getting saved and seen them finding Christ as their own personal saviour, then they're going to want a home. And when I say a home, I mean a spiritual home. They're going to want spiritual friends. Same with the alcoholics, the drug addicts. God is going to save these people, and God is going to reach many of these people. God did not intend these people to just die and wither up. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life. Jesus said, I have come to these people. He hasn't come for the religious people, because they wouldn't recognize Jesus if he slapped them across the face. They couldn't even recognize the miracles that he did, that they came from God. They said, oh, he's acting on behalf of the devil. And these were the religious people. They ran churches. Jesus said, I've come to seek and save that which was lost. The down and outs. The prostitutes, the alcoholics, the drug addicts, the ones who seem to be lost in life, the ones who seem to be going nowhere. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And you know, it's time that we moved forward in our walk, in our experience. It's time we move forward in that precious power and anointing. It's time that we move forward in our worship. And I say these things because I have been there. And I know that place exists in God. This last few days I've been to different churches and I have heard singing and music, but I haven't heard worship. I haven't heard people worshipping God. I have heard a noise. Musicians don't make a noise. Worship. When we worship, the kingdom of God will come down, the presence of God will come down, angels will appear, there will be a ministering of the power and the presence of God in healing virtue, in salvation, in miracles. That is what will happen in the church. Worship is the key. And some of these churches were big churches. But one of the things that made me weep the most was they knew nothing about the Word of God. We had a few moments sharing with somebody about some of the basic things that we teach here. They had never heard some of the very basic things about the precious kingdom of God, about the Word of God, about the power of the Lord's table, the things that we know that we take for granted. And yet, they've got quite a big church. But it's all bounce, bounce, boom, boom. I mean, it's decibels. And yet at times it says, be still. And know that I am God. And I'm not against having a great time. I enjoy shouting and praising God. But I want the mixture that will bring that precious anointing. I want worship in this place. I want worship from musicians. I don't want musicians to play guitars, to play drums, to play keyboards. I want them to worship God. And there is a difference. There is a precious difference. God is seeking His people. And we should be seeking God and His kingdom. And I'm telling you, God has got a destiny set out and mapped out for each and every one of you. God has got something good for you today. Hallelujah. God wants to give you great things. God wants to take you further on from where you are now into better things. Ray, God has got a good future lined up for you. It's about to open up. There is a change coming in your life in these next few weeks even. that God is going to change some of your direction, and God is going to actually push you to another level. The level you're at now, God wants you to move up to the next level. You're already going. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Rejoice in what God is doing. God wants to do signs, wonders, and miracles through your life. We're going to move to another level. We've slipped back, but it's time to push to the levels. You know, we've let other people affect us. We've let circumstances affect us. Well, it's time to push up. It's time to push through. It's time to see the breakthrough. And you know, in engineering, when you're drilling steel, when you get to that last thin little bit, it gets tough. The metal heats up. And the pressure you have to apply to get through that last little bit increases dramatically. And the heat increases dramatically. But you have to push. And the drill continues to turn. And then it begins to scream. That's usually what most Christians start to do then. You know, God, what are you doing to me? And the pressure goes on. But suddenly there's the breakthrough. The Bible says, God is the Lord of the breakthrough. If you want a breakthrough into a new dimension in your life, if you want a breakthrough, then you've got to allow God to begin to push you, and you've got to push with Him. You've got to go for it together with Him. Did you hear that? No more sitting on the back seats. No more sitting and just taking a back seat and thinking, oh, I'm okay. It's about being here. It's about pushing through. It's about seeing the Lord of the breakthrough. That's what it's about. We want to see the work in Rwanda begin to get up and get moving. We need a breakthrough. Don't we? We need a breakthrough. And it's God that has got to bring the breakthrough. We cannot rely upon man. We've got to rely on God. That God will then move over some people to help us bring that breakthrough. God has promised signs, wonders and miracles for Rwanda. God wants us in the midst of it. Dharma didn't come here out of a chance meeting. He came by divine appointment. And we need to keep those appointments and see God moving mightily. You young men, you're going out on the mission field, you're going to see things that's going to shake you to the core. And anybody else that's willing to go. But it's time to press in. And it's time to challenge what you've got. Challenge what you've got. Stretch what you've got. Seek the flow of the Spirit. Seek the anointing. The anointing will break the yoke. And I'm telling you this, God has got your futures lined out for you if you will submit to His plan and purpose. I knew at 18 God had got my future lined out for me. Glory to God. And I'm still here 20 years later. And more. They're all now doing the maths, Bill. You know. Hallelujah. You ready, brother?
Yes.
Good.
And they're a new addition, I think, to Open Doors, and they've come straight in at number 20. They are located in the Indian Ocean, and they're part of a territory of Tanzania. Okay. Tanzania, which is the larger part, is actually 97% Christians. However, in Zanzibar Island, the majority are Muslims. There's only a really small percent of Christians. And because of this, they find it quite difficult. Okay? At first glance, to the outsider, Zanzibar is actually quite a picture of paradise. It's got tropical waters, palm trees, white sand, beaches, and often visitors feel like they've been to a really luxury place. But actually, to the locals, it's quite different, and they suffer quite a lot of hardship. Because they're in minorities, the Christians, they struggle to purchase land, to build properties, to find places to gather and worship. And many Christian children are denied a proper education, and adults are actually denied proper employment. The main problem because of this is due to the fact that there's actually a large increase of radical Islam followers, so people that take it to the extreme. And the Islam roots in this country go back more than 1,000 years, and it's actually believed now that the stretch of land from Sudan through to the Zanzibar Islands harbours the largest growth of the Muslim radicals outside Afghanistan. And this shift to radical Islam is led by a man, and you'll have to excuse how I say his name, called Azine Kahalad Hamdan. And he wants to turn the Zanzibar Islands into an Afghan state. And he said that he wants there to be punishments such as stoning and beheading. And he wants this to become the norm. And even though 97% of the population where he lives is Islam and only 3% are Christians and Hindus, is not satisfied. And he was reported to say that it is our duty to spread Islam, especially to try and convert Christians to change their faith. A man has the right to choose his religion, but once he has become Muslim, he loses this right. And if he does change, under the laws of Sharia, he should be put to death. And that's what he's teaching the people of his country. So life for the Christian minority is very hard. And as Muslims are openly teaching in schools to hate Christians and teaching young Muslims that they, if they behead Christians in their lifetime, they will go to heaven. One Christian convert who was once Muslim said, "They call me Kafai," which means infidel. "When I go to church, Muslim men along the way hurl abuse at me. They call me infidel. They call me these names because I don't cover my face like Muslim women. And even my Muslim friends have told me that the island belongs to Islam and that Christians are not welcome." Hostility has gone much further in that it's not just abuse and threats. In recent years, several churches have actually been burnt to the ground. However, despite these threats, there are small churches which are growing within Zanzibar. And one pastor explains that there is a big revival on the island, which is fueled partly by miracles which have been seen in smaller churches, such as healing miracles. This pastor talks about one girl named Susie who came to his church who'd suffered constantly for 2 years bouts of malaria. And since coming to the church and turning to God, she has completely been healed. And because of healings such as this, it has also been reported that Muslims are also turning to the church because they want to see the healings and they want to experience it. And one Muslim says the sound of the music and praise which comes out of the church is so uplifting that they've been drawn to the church. But as this uplifting grows, so does the persecution. So it's important that even though they're trying and they are succeeding, that we do actually pray for them. And the prayer request in Open Doors is for the pastors to receive bicycles to travel from one congregation to the other, as they're actually denied using any sort of transport on the island, so they can't get from one church to another. And to pray that new Christians will be grounded within the scripture and that small evangelical churches will see growth both in numbers and spiritual maturity. So they're the prayer requests. And that's the Zanzibar Islands. Okay.
What Claire's just said about the Zanzibar Islands confirms what he just said moments before, of course, about, you know, signs and wonders, following the word, and it'll attract the Muslims. Well, they're only over at war, so let's get them attracted and let's get them saved and set free. Thank you for your contributions, and those of you that haven't had your turn today, you get your turn next week. So don't think that we've fallen out with you. And if people that weren't feeling brave this week feel brave next week, just say so and we'll make a room for you. Part of the ministry of Open Doors is letter writing to people that have been persecuted in other countries. And if that's something that you feel able to do, if you're a letter writer or you want to, you know, churn something out on your computer, we can get leaflets and it will give you a guide as to what to write, because in certain countries you've got to be sensitive as to what you put, you know, when you put pen to paper you've got to be sensitive about what you do. And you're not even allowed to mention Open Doors, because of course it will, you know, in certain countries it becomes a problem, and it would probably result in them being sought out and banned and what have you. So you have to be very careful when you're doing the letter writing. If you want to get involved in that, I can sort you out with that. Most of you had a handbook of prayer for the persecuted church. There is a 2008 edition, which I have available, and I've also got an up-to-date map. So for those of you that want an up-to-date map and an up-to-date booklet, I think I've got enough for everybody that wants one to take one. And I would encourage you to continue to pray for your countries. And if you've been lax, don't condemn yourself. You know, just pick up the baton and start running again. Because we all fail at times. And, you know, if we were in the same position, we would want people to pray for us. So even if you've not fulfilled your, you know, the obligation that you took on, it's no, you know, it's no hardship to God. He knew that you were going to do it when you took it on. You know, but it really does an encouragement for us today when we've heard about all these atrocities and difficulties that people are going on and going through. It's an encouragement to us to know what freedoms we've got, but we need to stand with our brothers and sisters and pray that God will set them free and let them have things more suitable. I've got a little notice here about Algeria. There's an Algerian advocacy campaign, and there was 26 churches ordered to close since November last year. There's been a ban on evangelistical material, and certain Christians have been facing charges of sharing the gospel with Muslims. And it says, for more information you've got to see me. Well, I haven't got the information yet because this only came yesterday, so I'll stick this on the notice board and I'll try and find out a little bit more about what that's all entailing. The offering that we've taken today is for Open Doors. We'll be covering a number of things. Obviously, it's going to be covering the stuff that you're aware about, Bibles, and taking resources into these countries. But as was mentioned earlier, it's also used to train people in the gospel and to encourage people. A lot of these people that lose husbands and families and have their source of income totally taken away from them. They're not allowed to work. They're not allowed to go to the dole office and sign on because they don't have them in these countries. So some of the money will be gone, will be going to support these people that have got no source of income whatsoever. Because as it says, you know, we stand with these people. And sometimes, you know, it's like Andrew says, you can manage with less money than you think you've got. And yet sometimes you just need to have some. And God will provide the money when you need it. I stopped work at Christmas. I've not had a salary since December, and I don't look bad on it, do I? And I'm not signing on. I refuse to sign on. But God, when my savings have run out, God's able to keep me, because I believe that God has given me something else to do, and it's still in the preliminaries, but I know that there's something for me to do, and it doesn't involve going to school every day. Just another couple of little things. I was glad when Claire took on the Zanzibar Islands, because as she said, it came in at number 20, and out of 50 countries, for a country to come in as the 20th, you know, obviously there's something pretty bad going on, or it's just been missed out previously. But I think personally that it is that it's becoming a more difficult place to live, and you can gather from what Claire told us that it wasn't so good. And the other thing is, there are two more countries. One's Peru, and the other one is the Palestinian territories, including Gaza. We don't have anybody that has volunteered to pray for those two countries yet. So if anybody would like another one, or if anybody hasn't got one and would like to take up the baton, so to speak, and pray for these countries on a regular basis, it would be appreciated. So I'd like to thank you for listening, and I hope that you've been blessed, even though it's not been the traditional sort of service. It is important that we know what is going off in the world around us, so that we can, you know, make a contribution. As Andrew says, it's time to get off our backsides and stand up and be counted for the kingdom.